Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Coach's Corner, where we speak with other coaches and those who inspire, move, and motivate people to action. Listeners will learn about coaching and the many coaching niches and have an opportunity to ask questions of the many wonderful coaches who are my guests. I'm Coach Andrew Poritz from Ingenuity Coaching, and I help people to discover and fulfill their passions and greatness. My mission is to inspire and challenge you to dream big dreams, and with my coaching, help you to manifest those dreams into reality. You can visit my website at www.myfuturecoach.com. If you're listening live and you have a question, the call-in number is 646-929-2893. That's a New York number, in case you're wondering. Again, it's 646-929-2893. You will be able to listen to the show on the phone, and if you press the number 1, that will let me know that you have a question. We also have a live chat room right on the show page, so feel free to join in. Now, tonight we return to a topic from my second show that was nearly a year ago when we talked about relationships and finding Mr. Right. Now, Kelly Wallace and Frankie Picasso are known as the Love Wranglers. After 4 divorces and dozens of failed relationships, these life and love experts know what it takes to attract the best person, make love fabulous, and make it last. They offer honest advice, fun ideas, and the kick in the pants you may need to find and keep your Mr. or Ms. right. Frankie, by the way, was also one of my mentors and teachers back at International Coach Academy. You can learn more about the Love Wranglers at www.thelovewranglers.com. Now, it's just been brought to my attention that Frankie is experiencing a power failure up in Canada, and it's a good chance he will not be calling in tonight. But we're going to go ahead with the Love Wrangler. We'll not be wranglers tonight, just a Love Wrangler. And I will tell you about Kelly Wallace, who has been an intuitive life and relationship counselor for over 20 years. And she's often been called the soulmate specialist and the heart healer. And she's also written a bunch of fiction books. And I put at least one of them on the show page if you'd like to take a look. And you can find more on Amazon. And together, Kelly and Frankie are the Love Wranglers. And Love Wrangler Kelly, are you with us?
Yes, I am, Andrew. And thank you so much for having me on the show today. And I'm sorry Frankie couldn't make it. I know it meant so much to you. You get her sidekick, so that's almost as good.
Well, it's a good half of a team, and I'm excited to meet you. And I've had Frankie on the show in the past, and she was one of my most highly downloaded shows. And I'm very curious to see how we're going to do with this. All kinds of people want to know about finding true love and finding Mr. Right and Ms. Right or Mrs. Right, but we don't want to talk about that.
Yeah, we try to stay away from that, you know, married couples. But, you know, Frankie and I started the Love Wranglers because, as you mentioned at the beginning of the show, there are 4 divorces between us, dozens of failed relationships, and people probably think, oh, my goodness, well, how can these people talk about finding a good relationship? But that's just what we did. You know, we let go of our baggage. We reevaluated what we felt we truly deserved compared to what, you know, we were brought up to feel about ourselves, you know, through, you know, you learn so many things during your childhood, watching your parents and other adults around you, and it tends to warp you at times, and so you get into bad relationships. But we put that all behind us, and we both found wonderful men, and so we're out there trying to get people to wake up and either get out of their dissatisfying relationships, you know, that they're not satisfied in, or just really look at their partner through new eyes and make a go of it, because too many people give up too quickly.
Now that you're calling yourself the Love Wranglers, have you been using partner instead of partner?
We do. Our show, you know, we have the Love Wranglers show on TogiNet, and we just have a blast with that. You know, although relationships are a very serious issue, especially when you're dealing with, you know, abuse topics, we always try to keep our humor involved in the show so, you know, that people see that you do. You need to keep your sense of humor no matter what's going on, and that's how we just woke up one day and just did the Love Wrangler thing, and we have all these sound effects, and it has a Western slant to it. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, it sounds like a lot of fun. I took a look at your website with, what do you call that motif? It reminds me of like a kerchief, kind of.
Right, the blue bandana background.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so I wasn't making that up. Good. Yeah, that was really cool. So you, I understand you're a mother of five children?
Yep, I have five daughters. The oldest is over 25, and my youngest is 16. And I've been a single mom for the past 7 years. So, you know, I've had experience across the board, you know, between being married twice and being on my own and really finding myself after that second divorce, because in my mind, people should be married forever. That, you know, my parents stayed together, my grandparents, and they had just miserable relationships, and that's what I learned. But I got to a point where, I guess, you know, midlife crisis, and I thought, well, I don't want to do this anymore. So I decided just to go out on my own, and I've never been happier. And yes, I have found true love, but no, I'm not married yet, and I'm not in any hurry.
Mm. You know, I wanted to ask you about something you just brought up. You're talking about how your parents stayed married, your grandparents. What do you think, or have you even thought about this? What is different today that has made such a shift in how we look at things like marriage and long-term relationships?
Well, I think, you know, back when, I don't know how old you are, Andrew, so I won't offend you, but, you know, way back when, 30, 40 years ago, things were so much different than they are now. People just didn't get divorced. They stayed together. Sure, maybe they had affairs behind each other's backs, or they took to drinking or whatever they could do to stay together. And then I think as time went on, people just started getting divorced. And I think it's a lot different now. And in some ways, I think it's worse, because I think that people are so used to living in a throwaway society that now they don't give marriage a chance. You know, they went from staying married for 20, 30, 40, 50 years to lasting 6 months or a year. You know, the person doesn't say the right thing, do the right thing. They don't communicate. They don't grow as individuals, and they just throw each other away.
So what might people start looking for before they get married that might make a difference in what kind of outcome results?
Well, Frank and I always tell our clients, you know, they come to us, they're looking for love. We look into their background. And what we always tell them is, what do you really want? You know, what's your self-worth? Because we tell people, whoever you're attracting, whoever you're with, that's a direct reflection of what you feel you deserve. And sometimes people are shocked by it. It's like, what, I don't feel I deserve a boring relationship or an abusive one, but it's where their self-esteem is at that point in time. So we help them to build up their self-esteem, make some new rules, and really get down to the nitty-gritty of what they want in a lasting relationship. Because too many people tend to just jump for the first person who comes along. Women are notorious for it, and some men do too. If you feel unattractive, if your self-esteem is in the john, you're going to go for whoever comes along and even pays attention to you. And too many women do this.
Hmm. Oh, by the way, I see that I have somebody on the switchboard. I don't know who it is. If it is Frankie and you are listening, press 1 so I'll know it's you. Then the magic hand will come up and let me know. I can't. I can see the area code. I can actually see the phone number. It might just be a guess. And if you're not, oh, I see the hand coming up.
All right.
Hold on.
Okay.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi.
I thought you'd never answer the phone. I'm sitting out in a truck in the middle. It's freezing out today. All of a sudden, it got really cold. Sitting out in a truck in my driveway because Dan's cell phone adapter fit my phone, which we just found out, because I have no power. Somebody hit a power line. A car hit a power line here, and we've been
out
with
it
right now for 6 hours. And the guy, when I called Hydro, they said, yeah, I'll be on in 2 hours. That was at, you know, like 4 o'clock.
Here we are, 9:30, and it's still, we're in the dark. We're in the dark. We have a candle. I'm sitting out here, and all of a sudden it went from, like, really warm yesterday to chill factor of, like, minus 17 right now.
Wow. Well, this, Frankie, this definitely helps you live up to your name as the unstoppable Frankie Picasso.
That's right. Kelly's been doing a great job telling about the Love Wranglers and about what we do and how we coach folks to find the love that they deserve and the love that they're looking for, that we all search for.
Yeah, I'm going to give you right now in the middle, that I've never done this before, a mid-show introduction because, you weren't here in the beginning, and so I didn't introduce you.
Well, I'm here.
So I'm gonna introduce you as if you weren't here. So Frankie Picasso, also known as the Unstoppable Frankie Picasso, is a certified master coach who has specialized in relationships, mediation, and sexual health for over 20 years. She was one of the first entrepreneurs on the social marketing scene in the early 90s with her wildly successful customized condom company, Condom Sense, where she partnered with public health corporations and universities across North America to encourage safe sex, and Frankie is one of the Love Wranglers.
I am.
Right, we got the Wranglers back.
Yeah,
the S is back in the Wranglers.
Okay.
Very good.
So how did you two get together?
Oh, geez. Kelly and I have been working together for years. We've had different radio shows that we've done together. We've partnered up. I can't remember how we met, Kelly. It's been a long time.
Like, we've always known each other.
Yeah.
And we've always been trying to do something. We knew something big was between us, and we kept trying and kept trying. And then one day, she contacted me. It had been a little while, and it just solidified like that. Like, overnight, it just came to us. The time was right. And, the Love Wranglers show and, just the Love Wranglers in general, it's getting a lot of attention. People love it.
Actually, Kelly was with me when we first started the Institute for Quantum Living, and then she went on to do some other things, and I stuck around with it. But so we've been together for a while. If you've been following Coach Frankie, then you'll know about the Institute.
Absolutely, I know a lot. I'm always speaking for my listeners who, they may never have heard of you before tonight.
Right.
Although, of course, you are my repeat guest, Frankie. You are actually the second person to be a repeat guest on my show.
Wow, what an honor. Thank you.
It is. I am honored to have you on my show again.
It's always a pleasure, Andrew. Thanks.
Oh, thank you very much. So, let me remind people who are listening that if you want an opportunity to get some free, no bull relationship coaching, I put this out on Twitter a couple of times today. You can call us here at area code 646-929-2893 and just press 1 if you have a question, and I will be more than happy to let you ask your question right here on the show, and that would be great.
Well, I love that, the no bull. I'm glad that you stressed that, because I don't know if you remember me as a coach instructor, but I was always, one to get right straight to the point, and I think it's really important not to just beat around the bush, but just get to the point, because what you want to get done needs to get done now.
Absolutely. So it's all about, coaching is so much about action, what actions you take, and taking them now, really, really getting to it. So I love listening to that from you.
The Kelly and I have what we call boot the bull, and boot the bull in coaching terms is really the bold request and the request that we ask our clients to, the steps to take, the actions to take in order to alleviate the problems and that they're having in their relationship. So boot the bull is lots of fun. I'm just going to unplug. Here we go. I'm plugging from the car right now. I'm going to see if I can go back in the house. Hopefully I'm charged up enough.
Okay. Wow, that's a great piece of information. So you're actually calling from a car.
From a truck.
From a truck.
I'm a Love Wrangler. What do you mean?
Well, of course, a truck. Yay!
Yeah, I'm in a pickup truck. Honest to God, it is. It's a pickup truck, and I'm just going to lock it up here and see if I can't go back inside where it's a little bit warmer.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and this is just to show you the beauty of technology. I'm in New York. Frankie's in Canada, in Toronto. Kelly is in Arizona.
Isn't that wonderful? Right, and, you know, Frankie and I have never met face-to-face, and people can't believe that. You know, the way we get along. Yeah, our partnership, it's, you know, it's like we're right there with each other, and we've never actually met face-to-face.
We've written a book together. We've started businesses together. And, yeah, we've never actually met. We've met on camera, but we've never met face-to-face.
That is actually amazing. I'm so glad you told me that.
Yeah.
I would never have known that. I would never have thought of that. It's certainly not. It's not unusual for me to be, you know, whether it's in a coaching relationship or somebody who's a guest on my show. Most of my guests I have not met in person. I have not met Frankie, and we've known each other now for a good number of years.
That's right, and I think that's the beauty of technology and the beauty of networking is that, you know, you'll remember from coaching school, Andrew, that you met and made friends, lifelong friends, that you may never have met face-to-face, that it is indeed possible to create lasting relationships with people that you've never met face-to-face.
It's really true, and in fact, that kind of question also makes me wonder about in the world of romance and love. There's a lot of stuff that goes on with cyber romance and virtual romance, and some of which eventually become a real in the flesh romance. That sometimes they don't.
That's right.
I think for the most part that they don't, because what Frankie and I have seen through the years, and we've counseled so many people, coached so many people, you know, when you meet somebody online, especially somebody who lives in another state or even another country, you tend to build up that person into something that they're not. You can both pretend that you're absolutely perfect, they're everything that you need, and until you meet the person face-to-face and spend some time with them, you know, that's a big difference there. Online romances are very difficult to, you know, create a long-term romance out of.
I agree, and I think that it's really important that people who do go online to find love, that they talk on the phone, they meet as soon as possible, so
mm-hmm.
that they can find out if there's really an attraction, a real attraction, a chemistry there, before they waste, you know, a year of their time creating this fantasy lover who doesn't exist.
I actually have a friend who is quote-unquote engaged. Actually, I'm going to reduce him to an acquaintance. An acquaintance who is quote-unquote engaged to a woman that he's never met in another country. I believe he's even gone so far as to buy a ring.
Wow, that's incredible. I mean, engaged to somebody that
engaged,
you've never met.
Engaged, quote-unquote. And never met, and they've known each other. And again, I'm going to put quotes around that for years already. And still haven't brought it to reality.
You know, I can understand why Kelly and I haven't met, and I can understand, Andrew, why you and I haven't met. We're not in an intimate relationship. It doesn't matter for business.
Darn it, by the way. Let me just say darn it.
But, by the way,
anybody who has seen Frankie's picture will also say darn it.
No.
Darn it.
Thank you.
Welcome.
But,
go on.
You know, when you're in an intimate relationship, when you're going to marry somebody, you want to know who this person is, and you need to do that face to face. You cannot do that over the phone or even over a video camera. There's still, you know, a barrier between the two of you. You need to be eye to eye, flesh to flesh, and know if there's chemistry there.
And no matter what anyone says, and I can speak to this personally. I mean, I've gone through all of those scenarios. I've had online romances and all kinds of things, and it's always been, it doesn't count until the moment you meet.
That's right. That's right. It really doesn't. And you know, one of the ways that I like to counsel people to meet online, to have online relationships, is to look at it as if you're meeting a friend. You know, when you go right directly to, is this going to be the person I'm going to marry, the person I'm going to love for the rest of my life, it puts so much pressure on the two of you. And so much pressure that when you actually do meet, there's an instant letdown very often because of this fantasy that you've woven around this person and the expectation that you have had for them. And it's so much better if you can just bring it down to friend and then take that once you've met and build it back up to a love relationship.
Totally agree.
That's so true. That's so true. And I did that. You know, I met Mike online, and it actually did work out. But I had many dates before that that just, you know, went south. Nothing happened at all. Because you don't know until you meet the person face-to-face. You know, I know one woman that I was counseling, and she was talking to this guy for an entire year. They talked every day on the phone. They IM'd. I mean, they were as close as two people could be. He came down to meet her for a week. Nothing, no chemistry, nothing, zero. Nothing was there. And so it was like an entire year was wasted where
right.
it could have been seeking out people in their vicinity or looking around or something. So I agree with Frankie. When you meet somebody online, you need to talk on the phone as soon as possible, meet as soon as possible, obviously in a safe environment, and really see what's there and what isn't there. And don't expect to just, you know, fall in love with this person, go out as friends, and then see what can build up from there.
You know, Andrew, I don't know if you're still dating online or not, but I also met Dan online, and it's an amazing tool. You know, you get to meet a whole lot of people that you wouldn't normally meet because I don't hang out in bars and, you know, but the three of us are used to counseling people on the phone. We're used to hearing things that aren't said while people are speaking on the phone. A lot of people don't have that skill. However, you know, I remember Dan telling me in his experience that he was, you know, he would meet women, but they never wanted to talk on the phone. They never wanted to meet in person. What does that tell you? If you're listening to this show and you're talking to somebody right now that won't get on the phone with you or won't, you know, meet you in person, you know, after two or three times of this, that's kind of silly. You know, they were afraid to call. Come on. You know, this person is living a fantasy. They just want to be a fantasy lover, a fantasy person hiding behind a computer screen. They're never going to go anywhere. Just move on.
Yeah, they're obviously not willing to do that because they're some way
they're
misrepresenting
who they are.
Who they
yeah.
are. They're either their voice is going to be, oh, "Hey, how you doing?" You know, "Hi, I'm Lisa." Yeah, well, I smoked a lot when I was younger.
Yeah,
and
it's
that
so
does happen. It happens all the time. There was a story in the news a few years ago about this woman that had this online relationship with this guy. They fell in love. They were going to get married. She went out to Los Angeles to meet him. It ended up being a woman.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking of...
I don't know why she showed up. She made the plans and everything. I don't know what she thought this other woman would say when she thought she was a man the whole time. But, of course, what she do? She packed her bags and went back home and lesson learned.
It's amazing that these people who misrepresent themselves believe that, you know, that these words of love are real words of love and that it's going to be okay to be 300 pounds when you show up, that they're still going to love you for who you are. It's not going to happen, ladies. And, you know, women tend to lie about their weight. Men tend to lie about their height.
Right.
There are two heights that men may lie about.
Well, they lie about both of them.
Yeah, of course. Objection mirror may not be actual size. But that's another story.
Yeah.
But you know, you reminded me of the end of...
You.
Yeah, right. you remember the movie Some Like It Hot, by any chance?
Yeah.
Jack Lemmon, and at the end of the movie, and Jack Lemmon pulls off this wig, and he says, "I'm a man." And Joey, I think it was Joey Lewis, or Joey somebody, it says, "Nobody's perfect." It's like, that's the last line of the, you imagine that, the woman goes out, the man turns out to be a woman, and nobody's perfect, and they live happily ever after. No, it's probably not going to happen, unless Jack Lemmon is starring, and he's gone, so it's definitely not going to happen.
You know,
right,
I had a guy tell me that he was out in Tennessee and he went to meet a woman, and she had actually put her daughter's picture up on the internet, misrepresented herself, put her daughter's picture up, and she thought it wouldn't matter when she finally met her. She goes, "Well, you know, we've been talking and you liked me, and so what difference does it make?" Well,
yeah,
I don't understand how they can't understand the difference. Yeah, you lied, and people don't like liars.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that happened with me. I dated a guy once. We talked online. We met online on a dating site. And when we met for coffee one evening, he shows up and he's 10 years older and 200 pounds heavier than the photo that he used online. And he made all these excuses. Oh, I'm sorry. But, you know, it was a done deal then. I just thought, well, this person misrepresented themselves. They're liars or desperate or, you know, the whole shebang. And you don't want anything to do with someone like that. You need to be as honest and upfront as you can.
You know, that's why we do the No Bull relationship coaching, because we want you to be in love and fall in love and have people fall in love with the real you. You know, there's somebody for everybody, and you are just wonderful and beautiful the way you are. And if you're not, then we're going to do the work that it takes to get you there. And I'm not talking about outer beauty. I'm talking about inner. And, you know, life is an inside job. That's where it all happens, inside us. And we get that house straightened up and cleaned up, and the outer world is going to change for you, just like Kelly said at the beginning when she was talking about that.
Oh, what about, like, if you're somebody you think you're too unattractive to find love, or you think there's something wrong with you, I'm too this, I'm not enough that?
You know, Andrew, I'm sure that we could all find a supermodel who thinks that she's unattractive.
Right.
You know, self-esteem and is so damaged in so many people that it's almost an epidemic. And
what
it is.
Go ahead, Kelly.
I was going to say, you know, Frankie and I always tell women, because we talk to a lot of men too, and they tell us, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, to a certain extent what you look like on the outside. If you take care of yourself inside and you're healthy and you're vibrant and you have self-confidence, that self-confidence and independence is sexier to a man than someone with, you know, triple D chest and stiletto heels.
Well, you're a man, Andrew. What do you think?
It depends.
Come on, seriously? Is it more attractive to have somebody who's confident and independent and can laugh and is vivacious and outgoing than you know, a bimbo?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, you're reminding me of when I was a teenager. Many years ago in a time when forgot and all that stuff. I remember this young woman who was in the group of friends I hung out with, and she was like not particularly attractive. She was overweight, you know, but the thing about her, she had this personality, this always beaming smile. She was so warm and friendly, and I remember her as having more dates and more boyfriends and more attention than almost anybody I could have thought of. And I was like, what was her secret? Her secret was just that she was so easy to be with and warm, and you forgot within 2 seconds that she wasn't maybe the prettiest girl you knew, but she certainly was the one you wanted to hang out with.
She looked really beautiful after about 2 minutes, too.
Say that again?
I'm sure she looked really beautiful after a few minutes. Like when you talked to her, that, you know, that personality was so beautiful that she probably sparkled and looked really beautiful. Once you, you know, actually looked at her and looked in her eyes and was in her person, you know, her personage, it probably changed the people, you know, who were with her.
Well, see, my mom had my mom's best friend for many, many years until the woman dies, and her name was Yvette. And I remember the first time when Yvette came to visit us, and she said, my friend Yvette, she's the most beautiful woman you've ever seen in your life. And she's just the most wonderful and all this. And she walked in the house, and you know that famous psychiatry picture of like the old woman or beautiful woman, depending on how you
right.
see her?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So she walked in the house, and she was like the ugly old lady. And I'm like, look at my mother, like, what, are you kidding me? You know, what are you talking about? I'm going to tell you that. Probably by within the first hour of knowing her, and certainly by the end of the visit, it was my mom's friend, the most beautiful woman in the world. I mean, she was so great, so wonderful, and it just completely, my perspective of her changed just like that picture.
Yeah, I love that. I love when I meet people like that. You know, we're all going to get older, all of us. I mean, if you live long enough, you're going to get older. And looks are going to fade, and it really is about your personality and about who you are and what you value. And that's what relationships are all about. They're about values and friendship and communication and all those wonderful things.
Well, you know, my new thing is lying about my age, but the other way. I tell you, don't I look amazing for 75? I mean, incredible. I mean, this guy is so preserved. I said, people who lie about their age, they go the wrong. They always make themselves. Oh no, I'm not 40. I'm 22. No, lie the other way.
I thought 52 and a half. You know, my daughter would go. She would always, you know, when you're a teenager, right? You're always in a half. Well, I'm 50 and a half. 20 and a half.
Yeah, I remember that. I was so proud of the half, and now I'm like, I'm still going on the first part of that year. Never mind the half.
I went to, and they're like, are you on? Closer to the 50 side or to the 60 side? They don't actually ask you your age, right? It's kind of funny.
Yes. Well, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, now the new thing, like if you're on Facebook, as many of us are, and you don't have to put the year.
Mm-hmm.
And I had my year on in the beginning. I no longer do.
Really?
So it's going to be a mystery.
Yep. Yeah.
None of your business.
Oh, that's so funny.
On the dating site, I have no choice. They make you. In fact, on one of the dating sites I've been on, if you can't change your date of birth after the first 2 weeks of membership, and it's really funny to see some of these ads, mostly from women who's like, geez, there's something wrong. I can't change. I'm really, and then they say their real age because they thought better of it.
Yeah,
but they're
because
stuck.
They do that. People don't like liars.
That's right.
People don't like liars. I mean, if you come out in the first minute and say, hey, you know what, I didn't mean to lie, I didn't mean to put that age down, I didn't know if I was sticking around, okay, you know, you can kind of forgive that, but
mm-hmm.
Once you got on that first date and they never told you, then they're a liar, you know, and that's
right.
Just the way it is. But one of the things that Kelly and I do, also for especially for men, because they tend not to write about the things in their profiles that women really want to know about them, is that we do write profiles for guys. And so if you are an online dater and you want, and you're not meeting women and you want to meet better quality of woman, let's say, one that's going to be more aligned with you,
mm-hmm.
then we can write your profile for you. We'll interview you and write your profile for you, and guaranteed you're going to get a totally different package of women calling and contacting you.
You know, I think if I knew that in advance, I might have shown you my profile just so you could comment on it.
Yeah. We'll pull
right.
it up and read it.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
It's true. You know, most men just have horrendous profiles. I talked to one of my clients the other day, and he sent me a profile from a girl he was interested in. Her profile was amazing. It's like I fell in love with this woman just reading her profile. And then I said, well, you know, let me look at yours. And it was just, it was atrocious. It was, you know, three short sentences, and it was all things that women would find
I go to work.
Appalling.
Oh. Dinner.
I like hanging out with the guys, you know, I play football, and he has a picture of himself, you know, drunk one night with all of his friends, and I'm thinking,
yeah. And there's always the requisite fish picture, the guy with the big fish that he caught, and by a truck. Oh, and this is the one that I love. There's two that I love. The guy, there's always the guy who says, and I need a woman who can go from jeans into a ball gown in, you know, one afternoon. And
I used to write them back, going,
yeah, how many formal affairs have you been to this year? Because that's really important. And,
right.
And I love to walk, you know, hand in hand by the beach, and they live in the Midwest.
Yeah.
Say
they
that.
They copy and paste. You know,
they copy and paste.
That what we women want to hear, and women want, you know, the
truth.
They want to know the real you, the sensitive side, maybe the not-so-pretty side, because that's what a real relationship is all about.
I want to know what you value. I want to know what you like to do, because I want to be able to do those things with you. And if I don't like to do those things, well, then maybe you're just not the match for me, and I can move on.
Yeah, I actually brought my own profile up just so I could see it. Yeah, I started with I have a lead off line. I said, to borrow from Rhett Butler, you ought to be kissed and often by someone who knows how. That someone is me.
A little arrogant. Okay. You have, because I want to make sure that you can back up that statement. Are there, you know, testimonials?
Oh, absolutely. And I was named Best Kisser and Kisser Monthly Guide.
People would you have had to kiss to get that title?
Yeah, I like, you know, I say, like, we can have a, I always say, if you don't believe me, we can have a kiss off.
Yeah, okay.
You can take that anyway, any way you want it.
That's funny. Okay, read the rest.
Do you really want to hear? Okay, sure, why not? Okay, mine is awfully long, so I'm not going to read the whole thing. They said, so I say that first one, I said, but first let's talk about you. As a practitioner of the law of attraction, I focus on what I want as opposed to what I don't want, so you won't hear a lot of no blank in my profile. Because a lot of, by the way, a lot of profiles are like, I don't know this, know that.
I don't want this, I don't want that.
I don't
want
that.
Right.
And I think you just get more of that. So I'll say, I won't pretend I'm only attracted to someone's personality or mind, but in fact, that's the most important thing to me after the initial 5 seconds. So you should be warm, easily given to laughter and smiling, smart and able to hold a conversation, open-minded and a generous soul. It's a plus if you can make me laugh. You're affectionate, sensual, emotionally low maintenance, understanding, compassionate, involved. You may have adversaries elsewhere, but with me, you're my partner. And I have, this really goes on long. I don't know if I want to.
I like that. It makes it sound like you guys are going to, it's going to be you and her against the world. Although there's a little bit of a laundry list, it's not a bad one. Those are
right.
Things are nice to have.
Yeah, like I know what the things that I like. So I'm going to put out what do I like rather than, you know, everybody has things they don't like. But I think when you focus on that, you just get more of it.
Okay, but we need to hear about you. Who are you? We want
to
know who
you
are.
Oh yeah, well, now after
all that, now
after
I want to know who you are.
After the 47th no, the fourth paragraph, I tell you a lot about me.
Okay.
So I'll tell you what
you.
I wrote. So I wrote, So I'm a contradictorian, a made-up word. I'm very funny, sometimes corny. In some ways, I'm very old school. I live by the golden rule. Ethics are important to me, and I have an old-fashioned code of honor. I have a great relationship with my family. My musical taste leaned toward music that was popular when I was born, like 50s Sinatra and Elvis music, Beatles, jazz, and blues, and old-time R&B. I enjoy most other music other than most rap or house, at least not in my house. I don't much care for electronic music either, and I still don't understand why anyone even knows who Moby is, for example, although we clearly go to the same barber.
Well, you know, that's kind of good. This is somebody who has to be kind of hip enough to know who Moby is, who can laugh at that. And okay, so you're making your boundaries here. That's good.
You know, and I said I lean neither left nor right politically, though in principle I don't believe that government must solve everyone's problems, and I believe strongly in entrepreneurship and individual responsibility. On the other hand, I listen to Howard Stern on Sirius and watch Family Guy and believe firmly in everyone's right to full, free, and uncensored self-expression, so long as it doesn't interfere with anyone else's rights. I don't force my beliefs on others. And except those who do not infringe on mine, therefore it won't bother me if we haven't voted for the same people or have opposing views on an issue.
Maybe too much information.
Yeah, this goes on and on. I'm not even going to continue. If anybody wants to see it, they are more than welcome to email me. I'll send it upon demand.
I think it's great because like, you're really opening, you know, you're an open book, really. You're showing who you are, your sense of humor, and, it's great. Maybe a little long for a profile, but.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what I get? I get a lot of unsolicited comments just about the profile. Sometimes it starts a conversation. Sometimes it's just to say, oh, that's like the best profile I've seen here, and I really appreciate that, and, you know, that's amazing. Occasionally I get the long profile comment. Oh, I'll give you one more paragraph because you'll appreciate this, Frankie, with some of the conversations you have online. I'm also a sensualist. That means I delight in sight, smells, and touch. This should not necessarily translate into something sexual, although this trait certainly affects things in the bedroom. It means I revel in something like chocolate melting in my mouth, the gorgeous sunset, the smell of a garden or your intoxicating perfume, an amazing massage, et cetera. It's also part of why I love to kiss, hold, hug, and hold someone.
Mm. Nice.
Very, very honest and open. You got it all down there. You left no stone unturned.
Well, the truth is, sure I did. I'm going to give you, here are I got a lot of bullet points. I've been around for a while.
So how are the women that are responding to that? Who are they?
For the most part, they've been women I'm at least interested in hearing from.
Okay.
As far as, I don't always get necessarily somebody I'm particularly attracted to, but I've gotten a number who have been,
intelligent. They make money. Are they employed?
Oh yeah, I haven't gotten any. I haven't gotten, what I don't get are people who are, if they don't understand what I wrote, they're just not even going to bother.
Yeah.
Right.
So, I think I'm being really, really clear to somebody, and they're either going to get me, and if they don't get me after that, like at least wanting to have a conversation, they're probably not going to get me in another way.
Right. Maybe it could be a little scary to somebody, if especially somebody who has been married, is divorced, coming back on the dating scene, expecting all of this sensuality, sexual stuff. That can be a little scary because maybe she's only had one partner. Maybe she doesn't know she kisses well. Maybe she only knows one man's touch. And, women and men both are kind of afraid that first time, the second time around.
Yeah, and that's definitely not the first thing you see when you read this. It's like, so if you've gotten past the interesting stuff,
right.
And you get there, it's like, you're still reading? You're probably going to be
the best kisser in the world. You started off with that.
Well, I did start off with that, but I get, I get a lot of comments on that. I think that's one of the greatest, by the way, one of the greatest quotes of any movie. That, of course, is from Gone with the Wind.
Right.
And it's just so powerful.
Let us
ask you something, though, Andrew. How long have you been on the dating site? Just out of curiosity.
This particular site, I think 2 years.
How many?
2 years.
And you haven't.
And
you haven't found anybody yet. And what I found out with myself is I wrote a profile and I was meeting people that were interesting, and then nothing ever happened. And then I got kind of fed up with it. I mean, I went on so many dates, I can't even count them, and it just never worked out. So what I did, I stood back and I took a look at my profile, and from my personal experience, not for everybody, but I felt I shared too much. And, from a woman's point of view, it was like too many men, learned too much about me at right at the start. And I agree with Frankie. I think your profile is wonderful, but I think that it is scary for someone. And for me, I think just getting out of, a divorce, I didn't date right away after my divorce, but it would have been scary to meet somebody that honest and that open right off the bat.
But I'm not necessarily looking for somebody who is coming from
out of a divorce.
Right?
I know. But at our age, how many people aren't? How many people, have never been married? And are you looking, maybe we should have asked you, what's your age range on there? Are you looking for 20 to 30-year-olds?
Oh, gosh, no. I wouldn't know really what to do with a 20 to 30-year-old after about the first hour.
Right. if you're in your 40s and 50s, then you most likely have been married and divorced.
And I have not. I've never been married, and I have no children.
Right.
So, bear in mind, I am a New Yorker, so it's actually much more common here than in other parts of the country.
That's true. But there is a segment of the population that feels women that it worries them if a man has never been married, and it worries them if he's never had kids. They're worried about, is he too set in his ways? Is he selfish? Is he, I'm sure you've heard these.
Sure.
Yeah. So what's your answer when somebody says that to you? Yes?
Well, I'm an old crushety man, and I, how dare you?
Okay, well, why haven't you married?
Well, that's a very good question. Well, first of all, I was never looking for marriage.
But why? Everybody looks for it.
Why? I don't know that that's true. I think that the majority of people do, but, what I...
Weren't pressured into it?
No, I think, there was a time when, there was two times, let's say when I was when I was first in the dating scene, when I was with my first girlfriend, she was, you know, she was like my first real relationship, and I was in love with her for years and years after we were not together. You know, she was the woman I compared every woman to for a decade.
Wow.
So are you looking for marriage now, though, or are you just
I'm not
going
looking
dating?
For marriage. I'm
people.
At an age where, you know, that's the kind of thing that if there's a good reason to get married, if I meet somebody and there's a reason, like I don't really know what the reason to get married is when you're past the place of having children.
Well, not just married, but are you looking for a long-term relationship?
Long-term
now?
Relationship, that's a different answer. So a long-term relationship, yes. Marriage, not necessarily. I'm not close to the idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not even close to the idea of having children. It's just not my dream.
Right.
You know, it's not my, like, I'm not thinking, oh, if only I had kids, I'd love to have.
Is that in your profile?
It is.
Okay. So that could turn off a lot of people, too. But it's honest, and so that's
no,
good.
it's like,
you know what?
Oh, of course,
the thing is,
right.
Until you've been there, until you know what you don't know, right? You don't know what you don't know.
Right.
When it comes to, especially when it comes to relationships, somebody could walk into your life and they could just knock you, you know, knock your socks off, knock you right on your keister, and you're going, holy crap. I just had, you know, fell in love with the love of my life, and I want the whole shebang. So you can never say never.
That's why I don't. I'm open to that, and, you know, it's like if that's what the big guy has planned for me, then, and of course I'm speaking of John Wayne.
Right.
No. If that's what God has, or the universe, or whatever you want to say, has, if that's what's in store, I'm open to that kind of a gift coming into my life, absolutely.
So, have you come close?
Not in a long time.
Is it you that's turning these women down, or are they turning you down?
It's been both. You know, one of the things I've said is that I have not found the person who is right for me at the same time that I am right for her.
Yeah.
I've had the one or the other happen at not necessarily at the same time.
Now, can they have kids?
Absolutely. I love kids.
Yeah.
I prefer pre-owned children.
Right. Those are the best, aren't they?
Yeah, because, you know, the parts of children that I dread is just the first couple of years?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So if I could have the fast-forward button.
Right.
Yeah. Sometimes I think, oh man, I'd really like to have a kid, and I'll be sitting on the train, and there'll be like two or three hysterically crying babies, and I'll go like, oh, thank God.
Thank God. Yeah.
That's why. That's why.
Worst comes like that.
You know, we were talking about, you know, the fact that you haven't been married and haven't had children, and interestingly enough, my second husband was like that. I met him. He was 40 something. He'd never been married. Never had kids. I had been married, and obviously I had kids, and honestly, it did not work out. I'm not saying it wouldn't work for you. I'm just saying in my particular case, it didn't work out because he was so set in his ways, never been around kids really, or had to watch them for any length of time, and it was just two people from two different worlds, and although you know, we cared about each other, and we matched really well on certain subjects and in certain areas, just the family dynamics just were not there. So it is better, I would think, you know, the age that you're at now, most women, if they do have kids, they would probably be a lot older. Mine were between 4 and 15 at the time.
Right.
Yeah.
I would agree. Most of the pool of women that I have, you know, had the fortune of dating have been women who, if they've had children, they've been often they're grown or out of the house, or they're teens, or there's, you know, it's a different kind of a situation than with a small child. You know, I've been around small children, and my brother has two adorable little girls. Well, actually, they're getting big now too. But and I'll tell you, it was very, you know, I've had the experience of spending time with them and just, you know, taking care of them and being out with them. It's I'm amazed that my brother, you know, has to deal, he deals with this, you know, they share custody, he and his ex-wife. So I laud anybody who can do that. And Kelly, for you, five children and being a single mom, it's like, wow.
Yeah, Frankie has
very
her chair too, right? And it is tough, and that's one thing that we always tell women, and I want to get in before, you know, the show is over. So many women write to us, and they're utterly miserable in their relationship and have been for a long time, but they don't leave because of the children and the financial stability. You know, Frankie and I, we took our kids and ran, literally, mm-hmm. and we made it on our own. We made it on our own. We raised our kids. We got jobs. We made ends meet. We did whatever we had to do. And that's what we want to do. We want to help women become stronger and not feel that they have to depend on, you know, a man that they're not in love with or is mistreating them.
Or an abusive relationship. Mm-hmm.
Right. Just for that paycheck. My mother did that, and I swore I would never let that happen to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not a great reason to stay in a relationship. And, you know, Andrea, as you talked about the law of attraction, and Kelly spoke about that a little bit earlier, too. If you know, you have the mindset that you are going to be okay and you're going to make money, and if you can do with a little bit less for a little while, knowing that mm-hmm. things are going to get better, then that's all it takes. You know, change can be a little bit scary, but it's probably opening yourself up for the best possible scenario to let new things and better things come into your life. And they can't as long as you're stuck in, you know, in a relationship that you don't want to be in and be unhappy. And everybody's unhappy. Everybody's a loser in that. Children are losers because it's not like they're stupid and they can't feel, you know, the tension in the air. They are growing up under stress and worried, and people start screaming and yelling, and they live in a war zone. That's the worst possible
And you're just teaching your children
them.
To do the same thing when they grow up. I always ask myself that. I said, do I want this for my kids? They're watching, you know, me and, you know, their father yelling and being cold toward each other. And then one day I said, do I want this for my kids? No, I don't.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we taught, you know, pursue your happiness and mm-hmm. a life of your own if you are very unhappy in a relationship.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have down to our last 8 minutes or so on the show, believe it or not. So, any good? 7 minutes. We're down to 7 minutes. Time is flying. So, some tips for finding Mr. Right. You talk about I saw the Mr. Right thing. What would we like to say about that?
Well, the first thing that we always have women do, as I mentioned in the beginning of the show, and Frankie can expand on this, but you have to really know what you want in for yourself, for your life, and in a partner. And we always have them visualize, and Frankie did this before she met the love of her life. I did this before I met mine. You know, visualize what you want for your future with this ideal person. Imagine a day in the life with mm-hmm. the love of your life.
Mm.
And it's all about, for me, it's about values and what is it that how do I want to feel in my relationship? How do I want to interact with this person in my life? How, you know, I want to be important to them, and I want to do things with them, and I value, you know, certain things, and I value freedom, and I want to be able to do the things I want to do, and I want them to allow me to be able to do that, but I also want them to be with me and be affectionate and all of those things, you know, a lot of the things that you put into your profile. So, you know, this is how the operational side of the relationship works, and that's what, you know, we're looking for. Strategically, you're looking for that person that's going to fit the bill, but operationally, you know, the relationship operates on a day-to-day basis, and so how is that day gonna play out with your partner? What is it that you want to feel like? It's not about how they look as much as about how they're going to make you feel. And, you know, are they going to be your best friend? Are they going to be loyal to you? Are they going to be, you know, fulfill your needs and you be able to fulfill theirs? And, you know, you don't want to live in a war zone, then you want somebody who's not going to argue with you, you know, that you're not going to argue with. It means everything to me that I don't, you know, argue, that we never raise our voice. We don't even fight. We've never had anything to fight over. It's amazing when you find the right person.
Do you know who the Bickersons were?
Not quite Bickersons. Sure, but they don't sound like good people.
They were. It was Don Ameche, and I cannot remember the woman. It might have been Irene Ryan. No, it was Don Ameche.
I love Don Ameche.
Well, it was a radio show called The Bickersons, and it was this couple that was, they were like, you know, War of the Roses kind of a couple. They were just constantly bickering and arguing about everything, and you know they you know by the end of the day you know they still love each other, but it's like, it was just like it was just a play on that, you know, that
yeah.
arguing couple thing, and
no,
probably
arguing,
today they would just get divorced.
Yeah,
right.
But arguing and bickering, you know, can be. Truly, it can be foreplay for some people. But what I noticed that when my husband came home and my heart would start, you know, the adrenaline would pump, the heart would start to beat fast. Physiologically, my body was changing and responding to this person coming in the door, and so did everybody else. There was such a pall over the house, and when he left for a weekend or whatever, it was like this huge sigh of relief. The walls would expand out again, and the kids would relax, and they would start to laugh again. And, you know, when you can look at your house and say, wow, you know, like that, the physiologically, we're all, you know, our bodies are changing, it's time to say goodbye. You cannot live under that stress healthfully, you know.
Was there, a particular moment when that became that guy, or was that always present?
No, obviously it wasn't always present, but pretty, you know, I didn't realize that he was an alcoholic. And as he grew in age, there is a male menopause.
I call it womenopause.
Yeah, well, it's called andropause. It's called andropause. And
okay.
It is a real, you know, physiologically, he was changing, and I would go to the doctor, and I'd say, you know, there's something going on. He's not the same person. I don't know who this guy is. And he just, you know, with the alcohol, and I didn't realize about the alcohol. So with the alcohol, he became increasingly abusive verbally, physically. He got diabetes, too, and he got, you know, cholesterol, high cholesterol. And, of course, I was blamed for all of that. And that is somebody, you know, who was changing. And so, no, I wouldn't say it was always that way, but it became that way. And so, you know, screaming and yelling becomes a habit and a way of communication, and it's not a really nice way to communicate.
No, it does not sound pretty.
No, it's not fun. So,
ladies, we are getting close to the end of our show here. We have just a couple of minutes left. For the Love Wranglers here on Coach's Corner. So now would be a good time to let us know what you're up to, where people can find you, although I've also mentioned it, and what's going on.
Well, they can find us at the www.thelovewranglers.com. That's our website. And starting April 1st, you will find us on toginet.com radio. And we're on at 8 Eastern, 7 Central on Toginet, the Love Wranglers. Noble Relationship Show. Also, Kelly, you can find Kelly at KellyWallace.com and AuthorsAudubon.com.
Right. Yep.
And you can find me at UnstoppableFrankieBacasso.com.
We can find you in a lot of places.
Exactly.
Now, you working on a book together?
Yep, our book is finished. We're just putting some finishing touches on it, but it's our Love Wrangler book, and you know, we have, you know, we cover beginnings, middles, and ends of relationships, and we have our Boot the Bull on every single page, and we cover various topics from, like I said, beginnings, middles, and ends, so people can read the book and hopefully learn from it and find better relationships, get out of bad ones, and we're really excited for this book to be out.
Well, I'm looking forward to it, too. I hope you come back when the book is out, and love to have you back on our show.
Thank you. We really appreciate, Andrew, your support.
Oh, my pleasure. Well, thanks, Frankie and Kelly, the Love Wranglers, for some wonderful information. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we'll be back next week on the same bat time, same bat station, with my guest, Warren Zenna. Have an outstanding next 7 days. Good night from Coach's Corner.
Goodbye, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you, Andrew.
Good
Bye,
night.
Thank you.